Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yoni, what does Yoni mean?
It means God gave.
God gave what? You.
Yeah.
All right. We are at Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio talking with Yoni, the non-arrogant but better than me Jewish guy. Huh? How do you like that?
I don't like it that much.
You don't think you're better than me?
I try not to feel that way.
See, I'm telling you, I think you're a chosen people and God still has a special plan for Israel. And you know what I think the proof is, dude? Mm-hmm. That you are still a people. Do you know, you lived in Jerusalem or outside of Jerusalem for a decade, right? Dude, let's go in the shade.
Okay. All right?
You were there for a decade, right? And how many centuries were the Jews without a homeland when the Muslims took over? 7th century, mm-hmm. right? So what is that? 14 centuries, 13 centuries without a homeland. There is no people group in the history of the world that has ever survived after two generations without a homeland, except the Jewish people. That's a miracle.
Barely.
But still, it's there. You're there, man. You got the land, right?
I know, but what price?
And you're a people. You're still Jewish. Even though you're dispersed all over the globe, you've still maintained that ethnicity. I think...
That's a blanket statement, though. There are many different flavors of Judaism.
You're right. I agree with you. But still, it's there. You know, you don't hear about the Baalites or the Ashtarites. They're just all gone. Or you don't hear about those religions or those peoples, but you hear about Judaism and you hear about the God of the Bible. I think that's a miracle. I do.
Well, it just so happens that the God of the Bible is worshipped by a very large percentage of the world's population, so it's not such a fringe religion, I guess.
Okay. I don't think that it's worshipped by the majority. Christians,
yes. Not by the majority. I said a large,
okay.
large percentage.
All right.
Give me that.
Okay. But I think it's pretty miraculous. Agreed?
Miraculous, no. I mean, right. If you think about the structure of the religion, it was meant to survive.
Okay, I agree. And who do you think came up with that brilliant plan behind that religion?
It's hard to say.
Not man.
Could be man.
Okay, here's our situation. Adam and Eve, they're put in the garden.
Right.
They're told not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They eat.
Right.
They fell into sin.
Right.
What did they do as soon as they fell into sin?
I don't remember, actually.
They took leaves to cover up their nudity because they were ashamed.
Right.
All right? Okay, all right. So your heroes tried to cover up their own sin and shame.
Sure.
God finds them in the garden.
Right.
And he does what? Do you remember?
I remember he banishes them. And
that's true.
He
Good.
Takes away the snake's legs. And what else happens?
What does he do about their nudity and their leaves? Do you remember that detail? It's a big one.
I don't really remember, but I do remember that that's when pregnancy became such a big thing.
Okay. He killed the first animal ever. We don't know for sure what it was. I suspect it was a lamb, but we don't know for sure. He killed an animal.
Oh,
an animal
has
never
broken.
Died. Well, that's what they did by sinning, rebelling against God. But they tried to cover up their own nudity by themselves, by making their own clothes. God said, those clothes aren't acceptable. Here is a animal sacrifice covering for you, because it's God who must cover sin. We humans can't cover our own sin. God must cover our sins.
Okay.
It's a picture, again, of an animal being sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament animal, if you will, would be Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins. See all the Old Testament pictures going on?
Sort of.
A little bit.
I see where you're going.
No. Yeah. All right, Cain and Abel. Quiz time.
All right.
Cain killed Abel.
Mm-hmm.
What did Adam and Eve do?
They raised
Cain. It's one of my favorite jokes. Okay. What did God do when he knew that this was going to happen? Cain killed Abel. What did he say was the problem? What was the fight? What was the source of contention between Cain and Abel?
I don't remember.
Taking you back? All right. Cain had made a vegetable sacrifice. He was a farmer.
Right.
Abel made an animal sacrifice.
I remember.
God
that.
Found the animal sacrifice pleasing, but not the vegetable. Once again, there must be a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Leviticus 17:11. There is no forgiveness of sins without
think,
the shedding of blood.
Think about modern Judaism. We don't shed... Actually, we do.
Because you don't have a temple.
We do. We slaughter a chicken for Yom Kippur sometimes. Not me, but other people do. I understand that, but it's something that I choose not to believe in.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But at least it's pretty compelling that all of those kind of fuzzy pictures in the Bible have a fulfillment in one individual who claimed to be the Messiah, who came to rescue you. He came to the Jews to rescue the Jews, to fulfill all the laws, to fulfill all righteousness, because you can't. Right?
But I don't really think that that's the value of Jesus. I understand that that's why you believe in Jesus, but I feel like the social commentary that he provided was more...
But it's not better, though. I mean, it's one thing to be able to live life in a more ordered way. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But it's better if there's a God in the universe who's mad at me for breaking his laws. It's way better to have somebody who can forgive my sins than to tell me how to live.
But you see, that's the thing. I don't like the fact that God is angry at me for the way I live my life. I feel like the way I live my life is how I want to live my life.
But it's fallen and it's broken, like me. I do it wrong. Because you know who I love more than anybody else in the world? Me. And you love you more than anything.
That's true.
And God says, I want you to love me more than anything else.
But how can that's like an unreasonable expectation, in my opinion.
Well, we're fallen, we're broken, but the good news is there's somebody who has done it all right. You and I are hopeless and helpless. That's what the law shows us.
You see, I don't believe that when I listen to investments or other things. Why would I believe that when it comes to religion? That someone else has all the answers. There's one thing that you can do that makes everything better, and it's right for everybody. It's not right. Nothing else is like that. Would you agree with me? Like,
perhaps.
When you are working out, you have to have a personal workout routine. Things that are customized to yourself. You have to go through your own path in life. How does everybody have the same exact solution?
Well, we all have the same problem in this instance. Okay, you might be lacking leg strength and I'm lacking upper body strength. Then we need a different regimen. But when it comes to our lives, we all have the same problem.
Where else do you see that, though?
I'm not sure that anything parallel is necessary for it to be true. Because you would agree that everybody has sinned. We've all lusted. We've all lied. We've all stolen. We've all blasphemed.
Of course.
So if God is just, remember that line? Righteousness, justice, the foundation of his throne.
But again, if we look at the Bible itself and we look at the literal meaning, I don't see the justice in God. I see pettiness. I see a lot of different actions that are...
You know what? Okay, let's try this, all right? Mm-hmm. I think this is helpful because the problem is, I think, is what we perceive the standard to be. You look at lying or lusting or pornography or whatever it is that you happen to do and you go, look, boys will be boys. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. Because your perspective is about here, way down about this level, about 2 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. But when you see some things, you think they're... just despicable, like molesting a child. You'd go, that's nasty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why did that become nastier than lying or stealing?
Social constructs.
Okay, now, imagine this. Let's say that your morality level, your holiness level, rose to the ceiling above us. It's not 2 feet off the ground. Now it's way up here. Now you'd look down and you'd see a lot of things in a lot more filthy way, a lot more reprehensible way, not because those activities became more violent or grotesque, but because your standard and your understanding of what is good and bad has increased. Are you tracking with me?
I'm tracking with you, but I disagree.
God is above the ceiling. He's so high, he's able to look down and say, all liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
Who's a moral figure that you believe is even higher than me or you?
It.
I mean, we're not talking about God here.
Ultimately, isn't going to matter, though. Here's why. If you walk into the courtroom and you've murdered 3 people and I've murdered 5 or 1, we're both murderers and we're both guilty and we're both in trouble. God looks down and he is so into justice, he's not going to let liars get away with it, or rapists or thieves or murderers. There will be a day when everybody will give an account for what they have done.
Okay,
no,
explain something
cases.
To me. What's the difference between a murderer who killed 5 people and a soldier from biblical times that was told by God to go kill people?
Yeah. One is a commandment by God. It's just. God can kill any. He could kill you and me on the spot.
Right.
And that's
even
what we
women
deserve.
And children.
Everybody deserves it. Do you remember what David said? In sin was I born. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51. We were born sinful. It's what we are. When Adam and Eve fell, he was our representative.
Was killing Jesus
you and
a sin?
Oh, yeah.
But... That seems like a little bit of a contradiction.
The humans committed the sin, but
he wasn't born in sin.
But you know who really? No, he wasn't.
So what exactly was his sin that made it?
That's the point. He didn't sin. He took your sin upon himself. Mm-hmm. He took the punishment that you deserve so that God could be just and the justifier of those who believe in him. God must punish you. He's got to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be good and just.
Well, thank you. God, I think I understand now.
But God loves you. Mm-hmm. And he wants to rescue you and save you. Mm-hmm. And he gave you all those shadowy pictures of the lambs and the blood being sacrificed to let you know that Jesus, the Messiah, mm-hmm. is the perfect sacrifice so that he can be just and still forgive you. So he's both things. He's just and kind together. The Bible says for God,
it's like the ultimate
loophole. It's the ultimate gift. You can call it a loophole, but dude. So dude, we're part in company. You're still Jewish. I'm still a Christian. If you ever get to the point where you start thinking, you know what, my conscience, which you have inside your head, is troubling me, and I need a sacrifice, think about Jesus. Fair enough? All I can ask you to do.
Fair enough.
All right. It's Yoni, right?
Yes,
say that
it
right?
Is.
All right. What is it called? What does it mean again?
God gave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I wonder what that refers. Is that you're the gift or God gave something else?
I mean,
don't know for sure.
Your guess is as good as mine, but you know, it's a biblical name, so
it is. All right, dude. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, see you, man. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Could have talked to that kid all day, and I'm not kidding. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. Honestly, I don't know why, and I don't think it makes me super spiritual. I love talking to Jewish people. I really do. Part of it is their intelligence. Part of it is their characteristics and their mannerisms. Part of it might just be that when you look at a Jew today, I think you're looking into the face of a Jew from 2,000 years ago, perhaps. And it's just kind of cool to look at and go, huh, I'm looking at the face of somebody that could have been walking around with Jesus. I enjoy that very much. And so I enjoyed my conversation with Yoni. And I'll say it again, I think the Jews are smarter. Would love to keep talking with him, but now at least he understands and he knows the basics of Christendom, and that the Old Testament was pointing so much toward Messiah that it's just unmistakable. And those laws that he's been trying to keep were designed to help him understand he can't keep them and he needs a Messiah. That was the purpose of the law. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the Bible tells us, Jeremiah, we don't have a clean heart. We've got a sin-stained heart. The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So even if the person is able to keep all of those laws, they're doing it with a self-righteous, wrong motive, and all of the sacrifices and all the offerings to God come from tainted hands and they aren't acceptable. That's the point of the laws. That's the point of the commandments. And that's why we must use them when we witness to people. I wish I could have talked to him all day, because nice kid. And interesting and smart questions and thoughtful questions. But until he, like any other Jewish person or any other person, gets to the point where they realize they need a lamb sacrifice, well, they won't need Jesus. Hence the necessity to labor in the law. Is it getting kind of loud here, by the way? Are you getting kind of beeped out and construction down? Now they've got a new construction site going on. Don't they know we're trying to witness to people here? Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I ask you some questions on the radio?
Sure.
You up for that? Are you done with classes?
Nope.
No? Honest?
I got one more test left.
Ugh. Which one?
DSP.
Ah,
digital
DSP.
Signal processing.
You didn't have to tell me. What do you? I look stupid? Yeah. What is it?
Digital signal processing.
Help me out. What does it mean?
Analyzing sinusoids and stuff like that, like in voice and different things. It can be applied to many different fields.
All right, I'm just going to bang my head against a wall. What's a sinusoid?
A sine wave, like from zero to pi, and it repeats itself. And
you want to know how dumb I am? As if I haven't already demonstrated it? I don't think I can remember. Pi is 22.14 something? 3.14, that's it. Wowza. Oh, this isn't humiliating. That's right, 3.14, and then it goes on forever, right?
Yeah.
Into infinity.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's an unreal.
All right.
Irrational number. There we go.
I'm guessing right now, you, along with everybody who's listening, thinks I'm just a complete idiot, right?
Probably.
All right, fair enough. But you know what? I think that's good, though. There's guys like you who think the way you think. I think in a different way, and then the whole world gets along.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Jesus Christ is the Lord.
I see. And you're sure of that? You're talking now with your sinusoids. What are they called?
Sinusoids?
Yeah, they went to the other end of the spectrum. You said that with certainty.
Yeah.
All right. Prove to me that Jesus is Lord.
Well, I mean, it's something that I've experienced personally.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily something, it's not hard, easy to explain. But I've experienced the Lord working in my life in very real ways. I mean, he's brought me through many hard times in my life. Brought me out of a dark place.
So that would be an anecdote. But if I could go find a Hindu who said the same thing about their little idol that's sitting up on their mantle. So I've got a Christian who says that their idol worked, and a Hindu who says their idol worked. Why should I go for your idol?
Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is that Jesus Christ is either the Savior of the world or the greatest liar on earth, because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Are you saying then that the Hindu's idol is wrong?
Yes, I am.
Just like that?
Yeah.
So the majority of people in the world, you believe, are wrong?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, they can probably find some truths within there, but all truth comes from God.
Okay.
So,
all right. I want to give you 30 seconds. Give me your best shot. Convert me. Go.
Man, put me on the spot there. But,
dude, I'm kind of enjoying this because ever since there's got to be something in math that's a 22 something. What am I confusing pi? What's a 20? Isn't there some number that is meaningful at 22?
I know the golden ratio is pretty close to there.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay, go ahead, convert me.
This is really kind of sad, but I mean,
I said pi was 22. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
But because the one thing I just experience it so personally myself, and I would want you to experience it. So
experience what?
Just the fullness of life within God.
My life's full, dude.
I mean, but there has to be some, like, everybody, like, struggles with something in their life. I mean...
Nope. Doing good. Kids are healthy.
Yeah?
Yep. Wife's terrific. Paying the taxes. Life is good.
Yeah? So you don't see any need for any kind of God?
No.
No? Well, so... All right. I mean... What are your moral scale? What is your moral scale? How do you scale your...
I'm not in jail.
Yeah? So it's basically based on deeds? Or, like, is it based on the law?
Sure. Or just general societal norms of morality. I haven't murdered anybody. Haven't stolen anything. You know, good person.
Okay. But for me, like, a good person, they still can't get into heaven. Or do you believe in heaven and hell? That's a good question to start off with.
Oh, wait a second. Why wouldn't a good person go to heaven?
Because the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ.
But why? I'm a good
person.
Because
even though you're a good person, you have slipped up before.
I've slipped up before? What are you insinuating?
With sin. I mean, have you ever gone through the Ten Commandments?
Go ahead and use them on me.
I mean, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I mean, have you ever done that ever before?
Good question. Yes.
So with that sin, you become separated from God.
Okay.
And the only way to get back together to God is through Jesus Christ.
What if I give some money to charity?
There's some people that believe that. And that's more of Jehovah Witness and stuff like that. I mean, there's different people that do believe that, but I don't believe that because that's not biblically what's true. And I believe in the Bible, and I believe what the Bible says is true.
All right. Let me share something with you. What's your first name?
I'm Rex.
Rex, it's nice to meet you. King Rex, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rex, when you got to that law part, rock on. See, a lot of people are going to go to school here, and they're going to graduate, and they're going to get great jobs, and they're going to get huge homes and fancy cars, and they're going to have absolutely no need for God. But when you hit on that law business, that Ten Commandment thing, dude, you found the sweet spot. Because our need isn't a fulfilled life. Our need is forgiveness. That's right. What everybody's lacking. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So use that law, dude. That was excellent. So the next time somebody says, well, why do I name Jesus? Or you're trying to witness to somebody, you don't need to be accusatory. You can actually just open up the law and use it like a mirror to hold it up to somebody's faith. Because we all think we're good.
Right.
And we're self-righteous and arrogant. I'm not as bad as, well, that slug across the street there.
Definitely.
But when you compare people to God's standard, then they can go, okay, I get it. Hell becomes reasonable. And then the sacrifice of Jesus is suddenly esteemed and appreciated because God died for sinners.
Right.
So ask people questions like you did. Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you looked with lust? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It gets every guy just in big trouble, okay? Now, if God judged you, what would he give you, heaven or hell?
Right.
And suddenly it becomes kind of reasonable, and then you can explain good news. God will send you to hell because he's just, but he wants to save you, and he sent his son Jesus to keep all the laws that you broke, and he kept them all, rose from the dead, defeated death, and now you must repent and put your trust in him. and he'll adopt you as his child, and he'll grant you everlasting life based on what Jesus did, not you.
Right.
So, dude, you got there. Use that law when somebody asks you for the hope that lies within you, what the reason is.
Right.
Because you got a savior from sins, not a life enhancer. It's sweet with Jesus. I'm a Christian, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
It is the abundant life. But people don't need a high. They need forgiveness.
Okay.
And they need to be reconciled to God and restored in their relationship to Him. So focus not on the effects of the gospel, but the gospel itself. We get love, joy, peace, patience, etc.
Right.
But that's not the gospel. That's the result of the gospel.
Okay.
The heart of it is sinners saved by Jesus. Yeah. Dude, nice to meet you, Rex.
Good to meet you, too.
All right, man. See you. Goodbye.
See you.
Thanks for making me look like a dope. I appreciate it very much. 22. From Georgia Tech. Until tomorrow, I'm the biggest idiot in the world. 22. The pie. Go serve your king.